answer me from where the thunder hides. I cannot run, this heart I'm tethered to. With every step, I collide with you. Like a tidal wave, crashing over me, rushing into me.
His words are so powerful. And to know Christ and to know the Christ in me is the same Christ in you. It's overwhelming this morning, and I'm just full of awe and thankfulness. Thank you, God, for your relentless love. What we're about to sing says, you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. My deliverance. God has already sung over you. Your victory has already been won. And to acknowledge that truth in your life, to acknowledge that truth in my life, just opens up a new dimension to experience God. Thank you, Jesus, for singing over me and my family and for every person in here today, God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your spirit. Even though he's already sung over you, he still continues and will always surround you with songs of deliverance. And just to know that is the hope, that is the greater hope, is the Christ in every person. And thank you today, Jesus. Thank you.
Child of God. Amen. Give me praise this morning.
Bless you. We had an opportunity this past week to be away and to relax and rest. And before we sing, when we were practicing Great Are You, Lord, and we were sharing. And while we were away, I was up early one morning and watched the sunrise over the lake. And it was magical. I mean, it was just perfection. But God, I was all alone, and God just started speaking to me, and as the sun started to rise, and the sun just hit all the leaves perfectly, and as the leaves are changing color, and I just found it more beautiful than I ever had before. And then the geese would come in, and even the sound that they make, just perfectly in line. And I just began to notice how beautiful His creation is. And how beautiful my Creator is. How wonderful it is that I'm a Creator. And I just began to say, morning sun, light of creation, grassy fields of velvet floor. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He is so good. He is so great. And then He begins to speak to me. You have those same leaves with that same sunlight at your house. You even have geese that fly in the back. Like, notice, begin, you know, and I'm like, wow, I do, and to become an observer and to become aware of the beauty that's around us all the time, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss anything. I want to always be aware of the relationships and the beauty in creation and this house and our community and my family, just so many things that are beautiful, just beautiful if we notice and if we look at them as beautiful. And this morning, we have so much to thank Him for. We have so much to praise Him for. So many reasons to say, great are You, Lord. Great are You, Lord. Bless Your name. It rises up within me. It is in me to say that and to magnify Him. It is His breath in my lungs. And as we sing this morning, just give Him all your praise and say, You are great. Great are You, Lord. Great are You, Lord. I will withhold no praise from You. My Creator and my King. Just love Him this morning.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Give life, You are love, You bring light to the darkness, You give hope, You restore every heart that is broken. Breath in our lungs, so we pour out our promise, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we
worship you, God. And everyone says, amen.
We had all that going on while you were up here, you know. But aren't you glad that it's his breath in our lungs and we pour out our praise? These bones shall sing. I started back walking yesterday. About 6 months out of the year, I walk and exercise on a consistent basis. And the other 6 months, I reward myself and celebrate that I walk 6 months on and off. And yesterday, when I was walking, about the second, Barbara, she usually does about 3 or 4 miles. And so I told her I'd go with her. She said, well, how far are you going to walk? I said, about 3 miles. And so she came around me on my second mile. And she said, you going another mile? I said, nope. There's a knot in my right foot. My left knee is hurting. These bones shall sing, though. These bones shall sing. We shall worship the Lord today. But I'll use that later on this morning because, you know, sometimes, you know, no pain, no gain. Anybody ever heard that? No pain, no gain. And when I titled this message this morning, it's not in your bulletin. The back of your bulletin just says being, because that's been our paradigm shift this year, that we are being who he says we are. We're being. Being is not, it's in him we live and we move. We have our being, our existence. But this existence is not the existence. You ever walked up to somebody and say, how you doing? And they say, I'm just existing. In other words, I don't have any purpose. I don't have any joy. I'm just making it through. Well, that's not what Paul meant when he said, in him we live and move and have our existence. What he meant there is our existence in him is full of hope. It's full of faith. It's full of joy. It's full of peace. It's full of all the good stuff, all the good things. And so that's the existence that I want. That's the existence that we want, isn't it? So I got two words for us this morning. Now, throughout this whole year, we talked about this being thing, and we wrote in the beginning, we had just the big black letters up there that said being, and then halfway through the year, we changed the color, and when people went and wrote, you know, beginning of the year, how many remember your word for this year? And we wrote our words on those letters. And when I began this year, my word was more. And I thought what it meant to me was I want more of God. I want more understanding. I want more revelation. But God's changed that word, not changed the word, but changed the purpose of that word to me this week. And he looked at me and he said, in his wonderful, gentle, and kind way, I want more of you. I want more of you. I thought it was going to be, I want more of him, and I want more revelation. I want more understanding, but God wants more of me. How many of you know God wants more of you? And we talked a lot about David over the last several weeks, and I want to read a passage of Scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 7, begin reading at verse 17. Nathan went back to David and told him everything the Lord had said in this vision. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and prayed. Who am I, O sovereign Lord? You know, if you're going to ask the question, who am I, ask the right person. Ask God or ask somebody who's like God, and you'll get a good answer. Don't ask your enemy who you are. Ask somebody who is like God. And so he says, who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And now, sovereign Lord, in addition to everything else, you speak of giving your servant a lasting dynasty. Do you deal with everyone this way, O sovereign Lord? I want you to get the gist of that. That's David is saying, Lord, my two words to you this morning is now what? Now that you know who you are, now that you know that in him you live and move and have your being, now that you know your plan and purpose in life, now what? And so David is at this place in his life and he says, God, you're so sovereign. I can't even begin to imagine who I am that you should pour out such love, such favor. And he even questions God in a beautiful way. Do you deal with everybody like this? Do you treat everyone this great? You see, I read a statement, or someone read me a statement actually last Sunday, and it said that without you in the world would be you-less. See, God, it's not that God loves everybody the same. He does love everybody the same, but he loves everybody in a unique way. You know, I only had one kid, so I only could love that one. You know, I loved her better than my other kids. It was real easy because I only had one. But some of you got more than one kid, and now you may say, I love this one more than the other one. And sometimes you do, and that's fully understandable. But really, you love each one of them uniquely. I got three grandkids that I think are just the bomb. But I love each one of them. I don't love one more than the other, but I love them all uniquely, differently. And God loves all of us uniquely. Won't you see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, he says, anyone who with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, we'll give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. I'll give you each a white stone, and on that stone engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. Three things he says to be an overcomer. You got to eat angel's food. Angel's food is there was manna that God fed the Israelites with every day. And this manna had a sweet taste to it. And so if you're going to eat angel's food, it means that the words that you speak are going to have a sweetness to it. He says, I'm going to give you a white stone. A white stone represents you are fully justified. You're innocent. A judge in that day would give a white stone and say, not guilty. The white stone came out, not guilty. Aren't you glad you're not guilty? Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful place to be? And he says, and then I'm going to give you a new name. And nobody's going to know that name except the person who receives it. In other words, that name will not be known until and unless you who has received it, have heard it rather, will receive it. You with me? It's one thing for us to say who you are in Christ. It's another thing for you to receive that. See, sometimes I think I'm still the old, shy, insecure Buren, and I have to remind myself, I have to receive the new name he gave me. No, you're not. You're a lion. You're bold. You're confident. That's the name I want you to go by. And so names are important. In Scripture, naming a child, and now sometimes people give a lot of thought to naming a kid. Some people don't give any thought to naming a kid. And we gave little thought to naming Dusty. You can tell by the name. Well, but when you look at her, I mean, she's Dusty, right? But we probably wouldn't have named her that. We thought for a long time over it. But back then, they didn't have sonograms. And so the doctor said, I guarantee you, you're having a little boy. He promised me a boy. He did. He said, you're going to have a boy. And so we named a boy. His name was going to be Dustin Buren Goss. I said, that's a great name. Dustin, because we love Dustin Hoffman. Buren, because we love him. And so we had this wonderful name for this boy. And I'll never forget in the hospital, and the doctor came out and walked out, and he said, you got a baby girl. And of course, I hope he didn't see it, but I know he did. My smile turned upside down into a frown. I'll be honest. He said, 8 pounds and 13 ounces. I said, well, at least she's big. And so I go in the room, and I looked at Barbara, and I said, it's a girl. She said, I know. I said, well, we ain't got a name for a girl. I said, we named a boy. What are we going to name her? We got to name her. They got to put that name. You know, can't say for Molly. It's female. But I can't believe I even went there. But I said, well, you know, that name's got it. Some people look through the window, because that's all you could do back then, look through a window and said, you know, bring that one over here. I want to see her. And so we said, well, let's just name her Dusty. Well, that's how it came about. That's how she got named Dusty. So I decided, though, back then you couldn't even see the child. You couldn't. Now you go in and see them born. You couldn't do any of that. I couldn't even touch my baby girl. You believe that? And so I'm in seeing Barbara, and she says, you got to leave because they're about to bring Dusty in so I can feed her. And I said, I ain't going. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to hide in the bathroom. So I hid in the restroom, and they brought Dusty in, and they went out, and I came out and grabbed my little girl and held her and kissed her and loved on her. That's my girl. You can't tell me I can't hold my baby girl. But I'm really glad I did, because later on what happened wouldn't have happened had I not done what I did? And so I get real close to her, and I see her, and I see all her face, and everything just had it imprinted in my mind. And so when I come to finally get her to take her home 3 days later, that's the way it was back then. I mean, you never went in the hospital and come out the same day. No such thing as outpatient back then. You go in with a stumped toe, you in 3 days. I mean, you're going to be there a while. So I'm there, and this nurse comes in and puts Dusty on the, and she's got this little bracelet on her ankle, and she's got this little Band-Aid on her heel that they've taken blood, and she's putting this dress on this little girl. And I said, that's not my baby. And she looked at me, just she said, you know this is your baby. I said, no, that's not my baby. She said, you know this is your baby. I said, that's not my baby. My baby had red marks on her cheek. They had to use forceps. Now, the doctor said they're going to go away, but it's going to be several days. And I said, that's not my baby. And she looked at the bracelets, and she says, oh, my God. She said, please, don't tell anybody. It was a little boy. So God tried to give me one. But could you imagine when we got home changing that diaper for the first time? I would have went, it's a miracle. I've got a boy. Now I wouldn't name him back Dustin. But I'm so glad that didn't happen. Names are important. Names are important. And God's name to you is important. And I want to get serious with you for a moment. I read this scripture several weeks back, by just almost by accident. And I've read this scripture, 2 Samuel 12, 24 through 25. I've read through this numerous times. And I read this scripture. I put a question mark next to it. And I heard as much as I've ever heard God speak in my heart. Hold this scripture. Hold this scripture in your heart. I'm going to teach you something that you're going to need to know. And I held this scripture in my heart. Do I need to get my Bible? Is it going to come up, Jason? Would you hand me my Bible right there? That ain't no Bible. Oh, I'm going to look cool up here with my... That's what a lot of guys, they use the iPads and iPhones. I don't like that. I like the old-fashioned... Yeah, see, God brought it back. I don't want to look at that. David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and slept with her. This is after they've lost their first child. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and David named him Solomon. The Lord loved the child and sent word through Nathan the prophet that they should name him Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord, as the Lord had commanded. When I read that scripture, I put a question mark next to it, because I knew, God, there's something in that. There's something I need to know about that. And so when I went back to it, some things came to my heart. We name things based upon how God, we must, back up a minute, we've been renamed. We need to name things the way God names things, the way He sees things. You with me? Sometimes we name things based on what we want and sense for the moment. Solomon means peace. I mentioned this to Ralph, and he came by my office, and I called him in that day, and I said, man, this scripture just really speaking to me, and I don't really know why. He says, you know, Solomon means peace. They wanted peace. They needed peace. And so they was naming this child based upon what they needed at that moment. And so they named him Peace, Solomon. But Nathan come along and said, you should have named him Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. Now Solomon was a great man. And Solomon wrote Proverbs and Song of Solomon, but he also wrote Ecclesiastes. And when you read Ecclesiastes, you see a man who didn't have peace, but who is looking for peace in all the wrong places. And the Bible says he didn't withhold from himself anything. He had whatever he wanted, he got. Whatever, but he said every bit of it was vexation of spirit. Everything that I thought would bring me peace and bring me comfort only brought me more distress and more unrest. What if he had named him Jedidiah and that Solomon had kept before him all the days of his life that he is so beloved of the Lord? And if he had that love coming to him in such a powerful way, then that love would have satisfied him. Oh, come on, I'm getting deep here, would you? That love would have satisfied him, and he wouldn't have been looking for love in all the wrong places. He wouldn't have searched for things that wasn't going to satisfy. He would have known what's going to satisfy him is his deep relationship with God. Hello. Knowing how much God loves him. And so there's a scripture. It says, Timothy said, he that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. Isn't that a horrible sounding word, iniquity? Iniquity is not a transgression. Iniquity is an inner heart problem that can become a transgression if the inner heart is not satisfied, is not made right. You see, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And he says, he that nameth the name of Christ must depart from... One translation says depart from evil. You know why iniquity is so evil? It's because if a transgression is out there, it can be handled and dealt with. You see, I can be prejudiced on the inside and you not know it. You not know it. You know, if you look on your bulletin on the front page, there's a new graphic. And I just gave David a little bit of understanding of some things. And I don't know, I didn't give him, though, this message in its entirety by any means. And that graphic really speaks to me because it looks like there's a black hand and there's a white hand. And there's hope written on one of them. And there's something that just spoke to me about that. But it's not just that in itself. It's also hands or hands for serving and to show kindness. And you see, now what? That I know who I am. Now that I know who I am, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with the fact that I am who God says I am, and I am love, and I am joy, and I am peace? What am I going to do with that now? What am I going to do with it? And so, this past week, I found my place with some iniquity in my heart. Because I had named somebody something because of what I'd heard other people name them. You ever had somebody to say, to name somebody, they're such and such, and when you saw them, you named them that in your heart too because that's what you heard they were? Come on, don't look at me like a mule looking at a new gate. You know what I'm talking about. You've had it. You've looked at somebody. Somebody told you such and such about somebody, and when you saw them, you named them that in your heart. That's what you saw. That's not what God says that we're to do. Do you know that there's somebody who's named you something and all the goodness that you are? There's some people who's named you differently than that. I know none of you believe this, but there's some people in this city who have named me something else besides what you named me. And they named it because of something they heard. Without any knowledge, without any understanding. And God, by the Holy Spirit, just like to kick my ribs out one day this week. And when he did, it was a good kicking of the ribs. And I said to God then, Lord, when you're singing that song this morning, this time, wow. How many has ever got to a place and bet you found yourself falling back a little bit? Get to the place, find yourself, boy, when I was singing that song this morning, I want to say, this time, Lord, this time, This time I'm going to stay in this realm. This time I'm not going to let what other people say or what other people think. This time I'm going to stand from the throne room of heaven. I'm going to look down from the heights of glory, and I'm going to see things. I'm going to see people the way you see them and the way that I should see them. And I'm going to see it in love. I'm going to see it in joy. I'm going to see it in peace. I'm going to see it in forgiveness. I'm going to see it the way God sees it. And I'm going to name you not according to what somebody else has named you. I'm going to name you the way God named you. I'm going to name myself the way God named me. And that's how we got to look at life, and that's how we got to view things. And that's why he said in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4, he says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Listen, these are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the corruption caused by human desires. Now that I know who I am, now that I know this divine nature is in me, I am enabled to share it. I'm enabled to share it. You know, remember the five words we started with this year? The acronym GRASP. This is how we're going to grasp our being. We're going to grasp it by giving. We're going to grasp it by renewing. We're going to grasp it by attending. We're going to grasp it by
serving.
Good. We're going to grasp it by praying. Right? That's how we're going to do it. The first one was giving. And I'm going to go through these words this month, but I want to take it to a higher level. Because everybody at some time or another gives. Everybody does. But it doesn't mean you're a giver. I want us to bring it to a level to where it's not about giving. We have defined ourselves as givers. We have elevated it up. We've brought it into a whole new dimension. I don't just give sometimes. I'm a giver. And so, David, now I want to give you the preceding words and how this came about. David said, oh, sovereign God, who am I that you have done all this? Let me see where that came from. It came from the first of that chapter, in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, when King David was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all the surrounding enemies. The Lord summoned Nathan. Boy, he's getting tired of Nathan by now, don't y'all think? Summoned Nathan the prophet. And he said, look, David said, I'm living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of God is out there in a tent. Nathan replied to the king, go ahead and do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you. David was so filled with gratitude that David says to God, I want to build you a beautiful palace. I want to build you something just, I want to give out of what you've given to me. I want to give back to you, and I want to build this beautiful palace. And God speaks back to David through Nathan. He says, David, you're not going to build the house. I want you to watch this now. That would have hurt my feelings. Would it hurt your feelings? You know, I'm going to do something really neat for you. And God says, I don't want you to do that. I don't want that. You know, a lot of people's feelings have been hurt because they wanted to do something for somebody and they wouldn't let them do it. Like if Ron wanted to give me a $100 bill. Now, my heart would go, he don't need to give me a $100 bill, and so I'm not going to take it, but I would, so he won't feel bad. But if I said no, it probably hurt his feelings. Right? Come on, you try to do something good for somebody and they don't want to take it, probably hurt your feelings. But then because of his giving heart, because of the generosity that David had for God, you know what God said to David? I tell you what, though, David, I'm not going to take your temple. I'm not going to take this house you want me to build. But that's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to build you an everlasting house. I'm going to not just bless you, I'm going to bless all of your seed. And I'm going to make your deal an everlasting thing until it comes to the place where David became not David the temple builder, not David who built God a house, but the Christ who was the son of David. Wow. Which one you rather have? You'd rather build a house and you get a plaque on it in honor of David who built Jesus, this temple, or be the son of the seed that came from you, where Christ came from? Whew. That brings my Pentecostal roots out in me just a little bit. I'm telling you what. Oftentimes when people have had success like David had, it becomes their ruin. We give now not to get. I believe when we started this thing on giving, it was giving so that we could grasp and receive. I believe now we get to the place that we are a giver, not to grasp to receive, but to impart and to give out. That it's no longer for me, it's for everybody else. We give out of our gratitude for God. And that's where David was. God, you've done all this for me. You brought me to this place, and now I want to give something really back to you. I'm going to tell you something. God even honored his heart of intent that he had. And even though he didn't let him do it, he honored it. And I want to close with this. Just give me a little music up here. Give me a little music up here. Several weeks ago, I did a funeral of a young man that had taken his life. And questions are often asked. Why? Whose fault was this? Those kind of things. And I had meditated for several days. I knew it was going to be one of the hardest funerals I ever did in my life. I just was so grateful and thankful that the 3 weeks, that the Sunday he committed suicide was the third Sunday he sat right next to Mike, right where he's sitting. And the first Sunday, he accepted Christ. The next Sunday, he stepped out into an aisle and was prayed for. The next Sunday, he left from here and went and committed suicide. And I kept rolling over in my heart and mind, just asking God, God, give me something to say. One thing I was able to say crystal clear to the people in the beginning, he's in heaven. That was the greatest thing I could say. But I closed it out by saying this. We want to pass blame. We want to say whose fault it is. And I said, I want to tell you all whose fault it is. Why this tragedy happened, I'm going to tell you why, whose fault it is. It's all of our fault. It's everybody here's fault. It's the whole world's fault. Because God's put us here to give out love, to give out mercy, to give. And if this whole world would throw down their weapons, then we give love. Just give love. And I was reminded of that scripture, and they came to Jesus and said, what's the great commandment? And Jesus said, the great commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And second is like unto it, love your neighbors yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and all the prophets. Let everything be based upon two commandments. Now, you gotta listen real closely to what I'm about to say, because I'm going to bring this scripture into a light that we've never talked about before. We used to sing years ago an old chorus. I never really liked it back then, to be honest with you. But of course, when I love you with the love of the Lord. Anybody remember that chorus? I love you with the love of the Lord. And I used to think, no, I want you to love me with your love. Do you know what? How many know God is an awesome, sovereign God? Well, the only way to love God is love God with God. So when I love him with all my heart, I'm loving him with the love that he's put in me. It's God's love in me, not my love. It's God's love. It really is. And so this love he's put in me, now I can love him with all of that because I'm not loving him with my love. I'm loving him with the love that he's put in. I'm loving him with a new heart and a new spirit that he put in me. He said, I'm going to take out that old heart of yours, that old hard, callous heart of yours that you can't love anybody rightly with because it's a selfish love. It's a love that only centers on self. You know what I'm talking about. It's a love when you first see your wife or first I saw Barbara, I didn't love her with the love of the Lord. I didn't even know what the love of the Lord was. I loved her with lust. I loved her with wow, wow, wow. I want you, you, you. And then I had to grow to love her. She didn't want me to love her for these 40-something odd years with the love I had. That love would have gotten mighty something. But when you love with the love of the Lord, you love with sacrificial love. You love, you ain't got to give it back to me. I'm just going to love you with it. And you don't owe me anything back. That's loving with all my heart. Not the love that goes, you remember what I did for you 16 years ago? That don't matter. It's an agape. It's a self-sacrificing love. I love you with this. You ain't got to do anything back. You don't have to give me nothing. That's how God loves each and every one of us. So he says, love him with all your heart. Love him with his heart. Love him with his mind and soul and strength. And so you know the love that God gives, the strength of that love? Oh, man, it's strong. It's strong, Billy. It's so strong that all the gates of hell can't prevail against it. It's so strong that nothing that bad that goes wrong in life can stop it. Nothing can hold it back. You can be as mean can be. And you got a love inside you can look beyond the meanness in other people. And you can love the unlovable. You can tolerate the intolerable. Oh, I don't know if I want that love. You do. Believe me, you do. Would you stand with me? And I don't know about you, and I ain't going to put my conviction on you because that's my conviction. That's what God did to me this week. Was to remind me that I've got to see things the way God sees things. I got to name things the way God names things. I got to name people the way he's named them. Not what I've heard or what I thought. I got to name it the way God names it. Maybe you're here and you need to do the same. You need to start renaming some things. Could be your own heart and your own life. You need to rename some things in it. And I want to take that phrase of that song and I want to challenge you. I've been challenged with it already. I want to challenge you with it. This time. This time. I'm not going to lose it. This time. I want to hold to it. It's not easy. Let me try to end with this, really. Y'all know, it's not easy. My brother I talked to before the service, no, it's not easy. It's a whole lot easy to hate my enemies. It's a whole lot easy to curse those who curse me. It's a whole lot easier to do that. It's harder to do what we're talking about, but it makes your life easier. It's harder. Oh, but it makes your life... Walking yesterday was hard for me. But it will make my life easier. Right? It will. I'll reward myself for 6 months later on. But right now, we got to do this. Ken, you didn't start riding a bike 40 miles first time you rode it. You didn't ride it 40 miles, did you? 3 miles? Three? I could ride 3 miles. But it was hard, wasn't it? But the more you did it, the easier it got. And so the results that paid off for you that, man, you wouldn't want to exchange for nothing right now, would you? You wouldn't exchange that body for this body, I know, would you? No, no, you don't do that. It's hard. This is not easy, folks. It's not easy when you start seeing things where you shouldn't see things and naming things where you shouldn't name things. It's not easy to bless your enemies, but it will make your life so much. It's not easy to forgive when you've been offended and hurt, but it will make your life so much more easier if you'll just do that. If you'll suck it up, if you will, and do the right thing, you will be so blessed and grateful that you did. I tell Ralph my story, and I had Ralph become Nathan. I wanted to slap him this week. I told him my story. I'm not going to tell you my story. I told Ralph my story. He said, "You remember when you thought you had that heart attack years ago?" I said, "Yeah, appreciate you bringing that up. You remember when you was in ICU?" I said, "Yeah, Nathan, I do." He said, "You remember?" This is exactly how Ralph did to me. "You remember when God told you not to judge anything or anybody ever?" I said, "Yes, I do." And he did like all sweet people do. "Okay." Just walked away, left me in my ashes. But you know what? I exchanged those ashes for beauty. I exchanged that for joy. I exchanged it. Thank God I saw what I saw. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for just kicking my ribs out. If I could show you my ribs today, they are bruised. Oh, they're not physically bruised, but it's a good bruising. And so I could say, thank you, Lord. Oh, gosh, I'm going to end with this, but I got to. But this is so good. If you will be bruised for my iniquities, I'll be bruised for my iniquities. If you'll take the literal physical bruising for my iniquities, I'll take the emotional, spiritual bruising of my iniquities so I can change and become like you. Amen.
You may be seated. If you got your connection cards, I hope you filled those out. There's one item on there I need to bring to your attention, and that is the Rushton Hope this month. We will not be serving at Rushton Hope. They have decided that there are so many Thanksgiving meals going on that particular day that they are going to take the day off and let people use the other meals, which is, I think, a great idea. So they will be putting their resources in another place. So we will not be serving at Rushton Hope the month of November. We'll be back there in December. So if you'll mark that. Also, this Wednesday night, everybody say this Wednesday night, is what Wednesday? First Wednesdays. And I told you we had something kind of different planned, and we do. First Wednesdays will not be in this room. First Wednesdays will be on campus, and we are going to be doing a campfire worship service, and it will be up on the top shelf, and those that cannot walk very far, you will be able to drive up there. We'll show you close to the volleyball court, but we will have chairs set up and the sound system set up, and that will take place at 7 p.m., but at 6 p.m., we want all the families to come out. Hot dog and chip meal will be served at 6, along with some pumpkin decorating stations, some s'mores stations. There's also, I think there's one other station. Did I miss it? Anyway, there's going to be, oh, hay rides will be taking place. All that will be going on this Wednesday night. So, you know, the campfire worship will start at 7. Everything else starts at 6 o'clock. So plan on that. Always love the fifth Sunday of the month. Do you know why? Because all of our young'uns are in here with us. All of our kindergartners through fifth graders are here. We have a couple of gentlemen and a young lady helping us to take up the offering this morning. And one of the reasons that we do that is because we know that they are not the church of tomorrow, that they are the church of now. And they are just, even though on Sunday mornings they may be separate from us on most of the time, that they can receive and give to us. Sometimes you need to listen to these kids. They got something to say that you need to hear. So let's pray and let's bless this offering. And then on our last song, the last Sunday of each month is Alms Sunday. And so we have the box sitting down front. And we are in need. I'll just leave it that way. A couple of times these last 2 weeks, I've had to say, no, I'm sorry. I can't help. Even folks within the church. So give to that. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come, Lord, and receive from you. Lord, we can bring our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, our alms, Lord, and give that to you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Let's stand and worship.
I am a child of God.
Have a great day.